Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How you doing?
Good. I'm really good. I'm excited about our special feature this morning.
Yes, we haven't done a special feature in a while.
We haven't, but it's only appropriate because it's back to school time.
That's right.
So Max started school on Monday, right?
Yes, he did. First day of seventh grade.
Wow. Yeah. And tomorrow, both of my kids start. I'll have a freshman in high school, Lee.
Wow. That means you're old, right?
I hate the way that feels, but no, I don't feel that old, but I'll have a freshman and an eighth grader, and back to school time is also a time where, you know, families start thinking about routine and getting back into the groove of things. And, you know, you've got a new book coming out, right?
Yes, I do.
And it's about?
It's about 35 things to know to raise active kids.
Very cool. So got to raise active kids, get them moving, but even more importantly, sometimes you got to get them thinking financially sound, right?
Yes, kids aren't that savvy.
Not as savvy as they used to be. I mean, I'm not sure what we attribute that to, but I'm really excited about our guest.
Because we spoil our children.
I
put it on us, the parents.
You think? Let's find out from Dara. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Finance Whiz Kids. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Dara, tell us about Finance Whiz Kids. And, you know, our listeners are probably listening and engaged because they have kids or may want to have kids or are thinking about how financially savvy our kids are. Tell us about your book.
Well, Finance Whiz Kids is a series of books that I came up with to help teach our youngest generation the basics of financial education. It became all too apparent, I think, with the collapse of our economy, as well as just watching some of my peers after we came out of college. I'm a young professional, and watching all of my peers really struggle with their personal finance, recognizing that the way I was raised by parents who really invested in teaching us some sound financial principles, that was not the norm. So I recognize that if we can teach kids at an early stage in a way that's engaging to them, in a sense, what they're already doing by reading, that it would be a great way to get them started on a superior financial foot.
So what did your parents do that was so extraordinary?
You know, it's interesting because when they were doing it, I thought it was just normal. When you're a child, you think whatever's happening in your environment is normal. But they were really great about teaching us the basics of savings, where money comes from, that if you punch some buttons on an ATM, money doesn't just magically pop out. How you earn money, we had chores, we had allowances, there was a structure behind the allowance, there was also savings, we had to save a certain amount, and we could spend a certain amount, there were matching programs. We even learned about IRAs and the stock market, so we learned a lot.
At what age did you start learning?
I would say they started teaching us in elementary school, which is to whom my books are targeted. I think that's when you begin to create foundations of your impressions of money. You see your parents or those around you spending it, and whether or not you're intending to teach children about money, by default, you're teaching them with whatever your practices are. And I think, you know, passively you begin to learn, but actively my parents started teaching me probably middle of elementary school.
Okay. So what are your books about? Maybe walk us through a scenario. Do they tell stories? Are they narrative?
Yeah, they are. They're actually woodland creatures, and there's a series of six of them, and I'm aiming to just get the first one out at this point. And the creatures just go through their lives, and in the lives of anyone, money comes up. So in the first book, it's about the value of money, and the two creatures are together, and they realize it's summer vacation, and they want to go to the movie, but they don't know how to do that. That's not a part of, you know, what they would normally be paid for by their parents. So they petition their parents for money, and they decide you're old enough to get an allowance. They create an allowance system. They teach them how to save for long-term and short-term. And with their short-term savings, they're able to, over the week, save up enough to go to the movies.
Are you pro-allowance?
I am pro-allowance. I do think every family's different. And at the back of each book, I do have appendices for an adult to address how to actually institute the lesson in the book. And I do make it very clear that it's not my place to tell you how to run a financial system in your home. There are certainly values around everyone's thought process around money, and it's not my place to explain that, but I'm just trying to create a framework for it. So I think, you know, depending on what your family is able to do, it's just simply about creating an open environment in which to have those conversations.
Now, your books also include something for the parents or for the teacher too, right?
Correct.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, at the back of each book, I mean, each one is different. The first one's value of money. One is the mystery of the ATM and how you really earn. One is about the basics of compounding and interest. One is about entrepreneurship. One is about giving back. And each one really just tries to take the principal lesson from that book and explain it to the parents or the teachers to say, this is how you would create an allowance charter. This might be a good example of how to start a bank account or how to do a matching program to incentivize savings, et cetera.
Interesting. I understand you're up for a grant to fund the publication. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, for anyone who's published a book, and Lee, you could probably relate to this, it's not an inexpensive endeavor. Especially when you're doing a children's book, it's expensive to illustrate and to do the graphic design and the printing. And it's really important to me to have a quality product that children are going to want to read. So up till now, I have been able to fund the editing and the illustrating, and I'm ready to get them into print. So through Pepsi Refresh, they're doing a year-long project where once a month they're giving people 1,200 projects an opportunity to win grant money. And I'm up for $25,000, and I need to be in the top 10. And it's been running all through August, and it runs out the last day of the month, so we have 1 week left. And it's all by public vote. And I've been swimming around place 100 out of about 1,200 some odd participants. So I really need to get a push to get up there.
So how can we help?
By voting. I would really appreciate if you and the audience would vote. And there's two ways to do that. You can go online, and the quickest way would just to go to refresheverything.com/financewizkids, and you can vote there. And you can also vote by text. You can vote to Pepsi, which is 73774, and you can text in the body 101260, and you can do each of those one time a day.
And is this something that if you don't make that level this month, do you automatically roll over to next month, or you have to reapply every month?
No, this is the one chance I get. And to be honest, I would never put my friends and my contacts through this again. So I'm hoping that it happens. But to be honest, I'm also really encouraged by all the support that has poured in from strangers and people I know, just really supporting the project. So I'm hoping whatever happens, it'll just help move this project forward.
So once funded, how will you go about marketing the books?
Well, my intent isn't to actually go straight to consumers. My hope is to take these books and gift them. And if I get this grant money. I plan to print 5,000 copies and gift them to nonprofit organizations who have yet to be selected, and give them to the participants in those groups, hoping to create a test case to then go later on to corporate entities and ask for their sponsorship to continue that model to go back to other nonprofit groups and continue to help support their children.
What a great project.
Yeah. No, it sounds great.
So your background is a little bit different.
It's very different.
I was reading your bio. First of all, say something to us in Italian. What a beautiful language. So,
non mi posso parlare.
Does that mean vote for me at Pepsi?
Yeah, no. I don't speak very well anymore. Yeah. I studied through college. And you know, with languages, the less you use them, you know, you forget. It's been several years.
No doubt. So you went to Emory University and studied religion in Italian. Mm-hmm. But then you had a career in wholesale apparel sales.
Right. Yeah. My career path has not been linear at all. And going into my undergraduate education, I thought I was going to study business because that's clearly what I'm passionate about. But I learned very quickly that I personally felt the undergraduate education was about just studying whatever you enjoyed and learning to learn, and that I could specialize later. So that's what I did. I just fell into those courses of study, had a great time, and, you know, went from there.
You blog to the quarter life generation. I've never heard it called that before. Have you, Lee?
No, I haven't.
The quarter life generation?
Yeah, I don't know if I made that word up, but I do get a lot of comments about it. You know, I'm a young professional, and I really felt that there wasn't someone speaking directly to what I call the quarter life, sort of the mid-20s, mid-30s era. And while what happens to us isn't necessarily entirely unique, I do think there are certain things we go through, whether it's, you know, figuring out your career path or marriage and dating and postgraduate education and just a lot of things that are fun to talk about in that community.
And you're in business with your twin brother.
I am. Yeah, you're listing them off. Sound crazy. So yeah. Much going on.
Now, what's that like, being in business with your brother?
It's interesting because a lot of people have a lot of preconceptions about twins. And I think when you're opposite sex twins, you tend to be opposite. And that's exactly what we are. So it's a perfect business partnership. He is Mr. Analytical, Mr. Backend, and I am definitely the outgoing front end piece of the equation. So we partner very well. And I always say, if you shared a womb with someone, I think we can share a business.
No doubt.
So how have you been doing it long together?
We've been doing it for about 2 years. We do credit card processing, and we just really tried to enter this market as an honest player in a really dishonest field. And to start with the foundation of our trust for each other and just being able to integrate that into all of our business deals has been really successful.
And that is a big business too. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs it, it seems. And right. It's got to be getting more and more competitive.
Absolutely.
And you guys both had the same upbringing with your financial right. wisdom. What do your parents think of your business together?
They actually laugh about it. My father called me recently and said, could you ever have imagined working in business with your brother? And I laughed back and said, absolutely not. Yeah. It certainly isn't what I anticipated, but I do tend to find from people that I speak with that love what they do that you fall into it. And I think that's exactly what happened for us.
Now, is he involved in the book as well?
He's not. He is not very creative. Sorry, Garrett. So he's really focused on the credit card processing, and so am I, but this is really a passion project of mine.
Now, the books, are they, like you mentioned, illustration? Do you illustrate? Or are you?
Oh, no. So I've hired someone who used to work for Disney, so he's very talented, and that is not my level of expertise.
Is there a website for the books? Or
not yet. That's part of what I'm
anything?
Hoping to be funded by this, and eventually there will be, so stay tuned.
So there's no samples or anything of how the books are going to look? Or
not yet, because
it's all in your head?
Well, no, they're in the process of doing the illustrations right now. Unfortunately, the timing for the Pepsi thing worked out that we're still in the process.
Yeah, so if you get the $25,000, then pretty soon we'll see the final product, right?
Yeah, you will have one in your hands.
And it says you've written all six of them?
Right.
Okay.
So they're already written, they just haven't been illustrated.
Exactly.
Very cool. And are you going to have some say in those illustrations? I mean, I would imagine you would describe it.
Right. It's an interesting process. I said to the illustrator from the very beginning, how do I take a concept in my head and try to explain it to you in terms so that you'll put it to paper? And I guess that's just part of the creative process. He came back to me recently with our first round of illustrations. And it was interesting because one of the characters was spot on exactly what I wanted. And some of the other ones, there's some tweaking. And so it's definitely been an interesting test in communication skills to figure out how you take that and translate it into a drawing.
It is. There are so many different educational tools for kids that have made learning fun. Schoolhouse Rock. I mean, some of those songs and the jingles, you
still remember them
too.
Right.
I mean, you can't get them out of your head.
Right.
And
right.
It is so important at a young age because that's when children are the most formative. Have you ever thought about writing finance for adults, or is your passion with kids?
You know, it's interesting. It's not even kids in particular that I was passionate about, and I know that sounds a little strange. It was more so that I didn't feel like I had the clout and the reputation to speak to adults. And more so than that, I didn't want to change people's habits. I felt I'm not patient enough for that. You know, let Susie Orman and David Bach and everyone else do those things. And I felt no one was speaking to the kids. They were trying to speak to the parents to regurgitate to the kids. But I was ready to speak to the kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can't wait to see the books.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
So people need to vote. Tell them again how they can vote.
Thank you. Well, first you'll go to the website. It's refresheverything.com/financewizkids, and Wiz has an H in it. And you can text to Pepsi, which is 73774, and you'll text the number 101260, and that's once a day through August.
And for our listeners, I feel like Ryan Seacrest. And meanwhile, Dara's sitting over here with her fingers up. She text me, vote. Really, our listeners should vote. What an incredible project. And we would love to see you get the $25,000 grant so we can see the books.
Thank you. They'll definitely be helping the Atlanta community first. So
absolutely. Well, thanks for being a guest today and for telling us about your project.
Thank you for having
again,
me.
Again, cool. To our listeners, vote.
Vote early, vote often.
Absolutely. You can vote once a day, you said?
Right. Once a day on text and once online.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks for being a guest today.
Thank you so much.
Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.